welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we're thankful that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. This morning, we're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God. And we want to say thank you to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. My glasses are playing a little tricks on me there this morning. 321-759-3284. Let me tell you, it has been hot. And so I want to encourage you that if your AC is not working up to speed, and you'd like somebody to come out and take a look at it, that you will trust to give you an honest opinion and an honest estimate and some honest advice on how to get the most out of your AC system, give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284, and Bill will come out. If you're in the central Brevard County area, that's pretty much where his range is, central Brevard County. And he can come out and he can tell you whether it's a big problem, a little problem, or no problem. You know, when it is this hot outside, if people still have their air conditioning systems programmed for what it was like when it was 50 outside, you may be creating some of your own challenges. One of the things that I have done is, in order to keep my air conditioner from having to work overtime to make up for a loss of temperature in my house, is I narrowed the range. We normally have one range for when we're home and one range for when we're not home. And so during the peak of the heat season, I narrow that scope to where my AC never has to work over a degree or two to get it back to where it is supposed to be. So that might be something that helps you. Changing an air filter might be able to help you. But 321-759-3284 are where you can get the advice from the real expert, and that is Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. So we have some exciting things that are coming up at Merritt Assembly of God, and we will be telling you about those. We're going to have some schedule changes of a temporary nature here in a couple of weeks, so we will be letting you know about those things in the days to come. So this last weekend, my wife and I, we went away for just a couple of days. We were supposed to get away for a couple of weeks back around Easter. 27 and a half years, I've never missed 3 weeks in a row, 3 Sundays in a row. I very rarely missed 2 in a row. And so we were shooting to take a couple of weeks off back right after Easter, and that's when the shutdown happened, the coronavirus and all of that sort of stuff. And I do want to encourage you, still be very, very careful. We know people that have continued to find themselves in precarious situations, not that they've necessarily been exposed, but there are people that have come into their workplaces and stuff like that. And so we've had to ask them we didn't have to ask them. They said, hey, we're going to keep everyone else safe, and we're not going to be there for a couple of weeks. So we're still exercising great caution. We've got social distancing And the seating in the sanctuary and hand sanitizer and all of that sort of stuff. Some people are wearing masks, some people aren't, but we're doing our best to keep everyone safe. So I do want to encourage you, because even churches are not exempt. I heard of a couple of church situations here in Florida over the duration of this. A couple of them still here in the month of June. So we want to encourage you, continue to be very, very cautious and wash your hands and keep your hands away from your face and use the wisdom that God has given you, and that will be greatly appreciated. So last Monday, I received a phone call. I had mentioned a verse and I had misremembered it. That's the way that I'm going to put it. I wasn't intentionally misquoting or trying to falsely represent. I misrepresented, or I didn't misrepresent, I misremembered the verse. The principle that I shared is still the same, but I want to take you this morning to the book of Psalms, and to Psalm 90. I like to do my best to clear up any mistakes. So Psalm 90, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Okay, now I want you to remember that portion there. Everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O God of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like sheep, or like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and your by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. The years in which we have seen evil, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So I had said last week that his wrath is equal to his mercy. And the verse actually is in verse number 11, and it says, who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So instead of being a statement that says there is a proportion between the wrath of God and his mercy, it says there is a proportion between the wrath of God and the reverence, or the fear, the awe that is due his name. And I want you to know that whether it's the reverence or the fear or the awe or the mercy, the proportions are still the same. God is an all-merciful God, and he is due all reverence, all fear, all awe, all wonder. It is an inexhaustible supply. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. It is an inexhaustible supply, and there is continual worship that goes on around the throne room of heaven. And so I wanted to spend just a moment and let you know that I made the first mistake since the last one that I had made. And so I wanted to clear that up because I don't like leaving things untidy. A lot of people want to say, "Well, God is love," and He is, But it also says that there is a daily manifestation of the wrath. There is consequence. Listen, God is not just sitting by and you know, slouching in his chair saying, oh, you know what, it's all of that sin stuff, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Holiness is not optional for Christians. It is supposed to be our mandate. Righteousness is supposed to be our mandate. It is supposed to be our normal. Being a worshiper before God is supposed to be absolutely mandatory. It should be something that we are glad to do, willing to do. And some people think, well, God is never going to pour out his wrath. That is not a biblical concept. That is a man-made concept. And so I want us to make sure that we have biblical perspective here and see that God's wrath, his anger, is just as much as who he is as the fact that he is a God of love and he is a God to be worshiped. They are the same in magnitude. They're the same in importance. And so I think that we need to make sure that we understand the concept of how terrible it is to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, if you are a sinner, you know, Jonathan Edwards, back in the 1700s, I believe it was. I know it was. The first great awakening here in America, before we were even a country, he preached a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And you talk about a sobering reality. There are some people that want to dismiss that they don't think that there is a universal consequence or an eternal consequence to living out of obedience and out of compliance to God's word. But that reality had been lost on society. Jonathan Edwards, after a season of fasting and prayer, preached that message not just in his church but around the colonies at that time, and there was a revival that took place because people said, you know, is there no hope? Is there no mercy? And there is. There's mercy in the cross. Now, I will tell you that when I was looking up this passage and studying it, there was a Jewish rabbi who correlated the two, the wrath and the mercy of God. And so I'm not the only one that has made that statement. But the actual verse, the correlation there, is that the fear of God, the worship of God, the awe of God is proportional or is as great as God's wrath. And so if you don't think that he is worthy to be worshipped, then you're not going to be intimidated by the wrath of God, and you need to read your Bible. If you understand the wrath of God, you're going to understand that since he's delivered us from that wrath through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he really is due worship and honor and glory and praise, no matter what we feel like. We need to be magnifying the Lord and worshiping him with the glory that is due his name. May God give us a spirit of praise and worship that changes the way that we live. I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and it says this: in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I want to, we've spent quite a bit of time on deliver us from the evil one. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I want to take you to that next passage where it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. One of the reasons that God can deliver us from the evil one is because of what is getting ready to be stated right after that. There is one of the scrolls, the Greek documents that they used in the original language to translate into the English language. One of those manuscripts does not have this, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of them does not have that. It is the what's known as the NU text. It says it omits that. But there are other manuscripts that do have this portion. And so I want to continue to look at it. I checked a number of Bible translations. Some of them just put there, it's like, you know what, one of the manuscripts doesn't have this, and they leave it out. A number of them continue to include it in there. I want you to know that because God's kingdom is, and he is the king of his kingdom, that is the reason that he can deliver us from the evil one, that he can deliver us from temptation. It's because he's the king. Even though we see that the devil is recognized as the prince of the power of the air, and that there are principalities and powers, and there are different levels of hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness, none of those titles or designation rise to the point of being able to dismantle or overthrow the king or the kingdom of God. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you look in Daniel, there were people that referred to Nebuchadnezzar as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, I want you to know that he is largely a forgotten person in history. There are still a lot of people who know who he is, mainly because of the Bible, mainly because some people still teach things like that in history class. I remember in my history class when I was in high school, they called him Nebuchadrezzar instead of Nebuchadnezzar. But he has moved off of the scene. There have been repeated attempts throughout history where people thought that they were going to endure historically and Jesus was going to fade from the scene. I want you to know Jesus' kingdom endures forever. He will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we need to make sure that as much as is possible within us, that we are living according to kingdom principles. If you want to be delivered from temptation, if you want to be delivered from the evil one, then we need to live under the authority of the king of the kingdom. Okay? I remember when I was a staff pastor, what a great privilege it was to know that I had a pastor who was over me, that whenever something arose, I could say this: well, we need to go talk to the pastor about that. Well, we need to go talk to the, you know, if somebody came to me and they had a question, or that, you know, sometimes people will try and pit a staff person against the pastor. And my simple solution was, well, we need to go talk to the pastor. I'll go with you. Well, no, I don't want to go talk to him. Well, you know, I'll be happy to mention it to him and tell him that you've got a problem. And I tell you, whenever you start walking in the principle of submission and authority in the kingdom of God, I will tell you, all of a sudden, people don't necessarily want to bring you their problems. So now I'm the pastor, and people will go to other people and say, you know, I have a question, I have a concern or whatever, and I try and have those in leadership around me have that same mindset that says, well, you know what, we need to go talk to the pastor. If you don't want to talk to him about it, I'll go with you. You know, if you don't want to go alone, I'll go with you. And, you know, if you don't, well, I'll be happy to tell him on your behalf, but I'm not going to be the person that you're able to utilize to sow seeds of strife and discord. We don't have things like that that happen very often, but I tell you, we need to recognize who the king is. We need to realize that being a person of kingdom authority, that there are privileges that are ours because of that. One of them is we don't get led into temptation. Whenever we let Jesus, our King, lead us, we're never going to be led into temptation. Whenever we have Jesus as our conquering King, ruling and reigning in our life, we are never going to be overwhelmed by the evil one. He is always going to exercise that authority, and he's going to exercise it well. If you read the Bible, you will find that there were times where kings did not utilize their godly authority well, and it caused problems for their subjects. It is of great comfort to us that because of who our king is and the nature of his kingdom, that we have the benefit of having victory over temptation, victory over the evil one. The second thing that I want to point out is it is yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. I've got a couple of grandkids, and they are absolutely adorable. Got to spend a couple of days, a few days with them over the last week and a half or 2 weeks, and the more time you spend with them, the more time you want to spend with them. I mean, they're just really, really a lot of fun to be around. And one of the things that I have realized is that they are very quick to pick up on this concept of mine, of ownership or stewardship. Mine. And if somebody comes and tries to reappropriate something that is theirs, they will reorganize what they are doing, reprioritize what they are doing, so that they can go and deliver something from the person that it doesn't belong to, so that it can be utilized by the person who actually does claim stewardship over it. Mine. So I want to ask you today, is there anything in your life, be it your time, your finances, your study time, is there anything that is being appropriated by someone other than Jesus, and it actually belongs to Jesus? Okay? And so I'm going to spend some time going through some of the things in the Bible that don't belong to us. They don't belong to the devil. They don't belong to anyone else. They belong to God. It belongs to God, and we need to remember to keep that designated. This is God's. As long as we remember this is God's, we're going to be in great shape. So let's look briefly here at verse number 13. For yours is the kingdom. It is not a democratic mindset. It is not a mob mentality mindset. It is a king of the kingdom mindset. We used to sing a song, "Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there." And, you know, it in all honesty, it is very difficult for people who have been raised in a democratic republic mindset to many times grasp the concept of living under a kingdom. You know, there is a movie and a number of versions of the movie about the King and I, about a teacher from England that had gone to Siam, and in Siam it was a monarchy, and it's a serious monarchy at that time, and to the point that no one's head was to be over the king's head, and it was a very, very much controlled setting. I want you to understand that when God speaks, things happen in his kingdom. He's not ruling from a throne because he's insecure. He rules sovereignly from his throne because he knows exactly what he's doing. Unlike an earthly monarchy, this theocratic monarchy that we're talking about, the king is there to benefit the people of the kingdom. He's not just there to demand the very best and say, you know what, y'all go fight my battles. I'm going to sit here and hold this throne down in case gravity, you know, fails. I'm going to stay right here. That's not what this king does. King Jesus leads the fight. King Jesus is there and says, look, I want to deliver you from the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of light. It's God's kingdom. He also says it's the power of God. It is the dunamis of God. And so you would see that Jesus would say, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. God's kingdom is not about a threat being imposed to the throne if other people are empowered, but instead, his kingdom is about empowering other people. It's about empowering the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's about equipping them. You are meant to walk in divine authority. And the other thing is the glory forever. It's the weightiness of God. Listen, all blessing, all glory, all honor, all power, all of them belong to God. Let's not misappropriate the things that actually belong to him. Sorry about the mistake that I mentioned earlier in the program. We'll keep trying to do better day by day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.